right, it's Smooth Jazz Hour with the Wolf. This is the Howlin' with the Wolf podcast that seven people listen to, the world famous one-man band. We are out shopping. This is Christmas, last-minute shopping and seeing what we can find, go over some Christmas memories, probably bitch about traffic, and yeah. All right, as I am pulling into my comic shop, just want to say the past week has been nutsoid. Very crazy, very fun. Lots of activity going on at work. We had a 3-day concert and a Christmas party. And somehow, I was at a sports book last night betting on sumo matches and then woke up realizing there was no such thing. The sports book part, anyway. Sumo matches are 100% real, I can guarantee you. Man, this uppity-uppy chick's trying to drive a bicycle through a fucking freeway, and it starts. See? Here, you know, I just can't help myself, but, yeah, so, quick story. Tuesday nights, it's the guys, we get together, we just do our thing. They're married, they're trying to get away from the wives and all the bullshit, and I just don't need an excuse to drink. So we go to our local bar until we get sick of them and spend too much money, and then we pick another one. And, well, if you're there late at night and you watch anything on the sports networks after midnight, I mean, you're getting, like, Korean tennis, the martial arts matchups. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we started noticing that we were getting sumo matches. And it's awesome. I don't know if these are the current championships or reruns or what, but I dig it the most, and they're fun. We are slapping bellies and throwing salt in celebration with them, and we're betting $5 on each match, and I came out ahead last night, and it was pretty fun. It's really interesting. The martial arts matches is like watching two people try to dodge each other. Sumos, they don't give a fuck. They will headbutt each other like bull elephants and keep rubbing titties until one of them gets pushed out of the dirt circle. It's hilarious. It's awesome. And I didn't know that there were all the countries involved that there are. I thought it was all Japan. But apparently Hungary, Bulgaria, I don't know why Samoans don't partake, because Yokozuna himself was Samoan. But yeah, interesting stuff. I dig it. I'm at the comic shop. We'll see what I get. All right, not bad. Got a handful of comics because I hadn't showed up in a few weeks, I guess. You know, I used to get like 20 comics a week, but then they went up to $3.99 and $4.99. And if it was, it's Marvel, some of these special issues and number ones are like $5.99, $6.99. That's just ridiculous. That's the price of a graphic novel, at least in my mind anyway. And those things are like $30 now. It's just way too expensive for what it is. However, I like some of the, you know, Spawn is always $2.99. So I got some of those. The Saturday Morning Ninja Turtles, some creator-owned indie titles. I just basically buy it for the artwork. And I've got a stack at home. I just, you know, keep adding to it, and I haven't read any of them. I probably have about 100 comics I still have to go through. Probably not going to read them. Probably just going to speed read and look at the pictures like a dunce. But, yeah. So, it's fun still picking them up because it reminds me of things. But, yeah, it's one of those things I don't need to spend money on anymore because it's not getting me anywhere and it's just kind of a waste. And then I end up selling them out on eBay or doing a dollar comic box at the next toy swap or, you know, comic convention. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is. It's fun. Keeps the industry going. So one of the ones I picked up, though, was a Resident Evil comic. I think it's done by Tokyo Pop or something anime-related. Looks very wordy, very people-oriented, and then there's a zombie on the last page, so I'm hoping issue 2 is better. I loved all the Resident Evil stories, and in fact, some of you may not remember this. The comic shop didn't even remember this. Wildstorm did a pulp magazine style Resident Evil magazine in the 90s. Maybe it was like early 2000. I don't know. It was somewhere between like, you know, 97 and 2001, something like that. Anyway, Jim Lee would do the covers for him, and then there would be three or four stories on the inside. And they were fun, you know, but they were always straight up monsters. Like, there'd be a liquor story, there'd be a T-virus, you know, story, zombies everywhere. And now everything, it's like focused on dialogue. It's weird, they're focusing more on readers now, which, you know, they haven't really done that since the 60s with Marvel, with Stan Lee, and then in the 80s and 90s with Claremont, where you spent more time reading the book than you did actually looking at the artwork, even though the artwork was phenomenal. And now it seems they're going back to story-based stuff, and I'm not into that. I read. I love reading books. I never get the time to do it. I should put the phone down more often and try reading more. Help my vocabulary a little bit. I don't know. I can't get into those kind of shows. That's why I didn't get into Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, things like that. It's just so wordy, and it's all dialogue. That's not interesting to me. If I wanted to see a bunch of people talk to each other, I'd just sit there at a bar, or I'd go to work. And to me, I love imagination, costumes, characters, stuff like that. I would much rather have kind of just an action movie where I get to see some great-ass costumes and things. And, you know, okay, so speaking of action movies, this is just weird lately. So if you were a fan of any action TV show or drama in the 80s going into the 90s, you would have heard of Stephen J. Cannell. And he was the guy at the end of every show that would be typing on the typewriter, then take the page out, flip it at the camera, and then it would end the series. You know, kind of like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, grr, arg, you know. So now they've got a guy, Tyler Sheridan, that he was an actor, and he also runs a ranch for helping actors learn how to be around and deal with cattle and horses and how to ride them safely and trains them. Well, he's the creator and the person behind Yellowstone, and he's done a few origin stories, one with Tim McGraw, I think it was 1893, or 1867, something like that, and then now he's got 1923 with Harrison Ford. And then I'm, you know, flipping through and trying to find another show to watch after I finished all those and caught up, and I'm like, well, fuck, Sylvester Stallone's in a TV show, I'm gonna watch that, Tulsa King, right? Can't be too bad. It's like the exact same story, and I'm trying to figure it out, and then boom, at the end of the show, there it is, there's the credits, created by Tyler Sheridan, written and produced by Tyler Sheridan, and then the main actor. So he broke the code, he figured it out, and he knows what Stephen J. Cannell did. Give us the exact same episode across several different TV shows over and over again, and we'll be happy. Because if you watch any Yellowstone season, almost every episode is the same. Something goes wrong on the ranch, someone tries to steal the ranch, they beat up the bad guy, but he actually worked for a different bad guy. Beth cusses someone out, beats someone up, and Rip saves the day. If you watch 1923, they're losing their land. I think Harrison Ford's wife, Helen Mirren or whatever, she's got to shoot somebody because someone's on the land. They've got problems. I mean, it's the exact same series of tropes and storylines that they got, which is fine, and it works. Tulsa King, same thing. There's a problem. There's an antagonist. The 80s retired action star protagonist gets in there, solves the problem. He's got a bitchy woman trying to undercut him, and then he saves the day by people trying to encroach on his territory. So I get it, and I'm not opposed. Like, I am not mad at how he's handling these shows and the stories that he's given us. I'm actually thoroughly entertained. I am at Goodwill looking for more trinkets for Mom, and there is a hot girl in a V-Dub Beetle next to me that is probably way too young, and she reminds me of Free Fall from Gen 13. All right, so, well, Goodwill didn't have much except a bunch of Mexican ladies fighting over a manger that didn't have a baby Jesus. So I don't know if you're going to put baby Yoda in there, but probably not the same. So I decorated finally. I had kind of tried to avoid it this year. I don't feel like decorating for myself if no one's going to enjoy it, and if it's going to be too much work. But my mom kept bugging me, and she always asks me every day what I'm doing, and then every day she asks me what we're doing for Christmas, and I'm like, Ma, it's just us. You know, what do you want to do? Just tell me what you want to do. I don't really care. You know, we decided on a taco bar, and we always do the same thing. No matter what we plan or what we say we're going to do, it's always the same thing, where it's Christmas Eve, we exchange one gift, and then usually there's so many that we end up opening one or more each, and then we've started doing socks Christmas night since we live separately now, or Christmas Eve night, and those are fun, and then when we wake up, we go to the other person's house. But she kept asking and asking and asking, and I'm like, okay, she really wants something. If I'm going to host Christmas Eve or whatever it is, then I might as well decorate. So I pulled out, you know, we used to have an entire garage full of decorations. I mean, it would look like Griswold Family Christmas with 30 different blow-ups and animatronic doodads, and then all of the lights we'd get on the roof, and I mean, it just, I can't even imagine the power bill now that I'm actually doing those things and whatnot. It's too much, especially if you don't have anyone that's appreciating it, you know. So I did get the real tree. It stopped smelling after about 4 days. I heard if you put warm water in there or something, it'll make it smell, but it kind of just aerated itself outside, and now it doesn't smell as tree-like, but I still got lights on it. So I decorated, I put up a little tree. I've got a hot tub bathroom that is completely useless. I think sitting in water is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And I set up the little Christmas tree inside so I can put my presents to them under there, and hung up the stockings. And then I was like, fuck, this is kind of fun. So I pulled out everything that I had, which now is just one or two totes, and that's more than enough. But see, back in the day, you know, the family didn't have as much as we do now, and I didn't either. It wasn't any big thing to take the 6 or 12 statues off of one shelf and then put up the 30 Christmas statues all together, or clean off every surface and then set up Christmas things. Like, I remember, you know, in apartments, you have a kitchen, and then there's usually a little, like, a bar or something that separates the kitchen from the living room or dining room area, so you can set things up on that, or cookie jars or something. Well, when you have a house, you don't have those things, and especially when you're a collector in a house, your loft, like, I have these... they're absolutely useless, but I throw, you know, 1,000 Transformers on one side and a couple hundred Masters of the Universe on the other side. But they make these stupid alcoves, which are part of another room, but they come out and they don't quite go, the wall doesn't go all the way up to the damn ceiling. So you've got a, whatever they call it, like a fuck, I don't even know what the word is. A steepled ceiling, I don't know, where it's not like a flat ceiling. And so you've got this like alcove on the sides of the hallway on either side, almost like a cubby hole. And I've got three of them, one where the closets go, and they just didn't go all the way up. Vaulted ceiling, that's what I was trying to think of. I've got one above the closets, which is all the Masters of the WWE Universe. I've got one above the master bathroom on the outside of the hallway, as that's where the large Masters of the Universe with castles and shit are. And then the other side where the laundry room is has sort of one of those alcoves that, you know, juts out into the hallway. I mean, they make these homes so designer that they try and fit things in as little a space as possible and make everything useful. But what they do is they create these odd alcoves. Like in my office, I've got, I mean, it looks like a door should be there, but you have three walls and an open space that goes out into the living room. And then there's this little thing that could be a closet, could have been a door, but it's neither. It's just a recessed part of the wall for no goddamn reason. So I put a shelf in G.I. Joe's and I made that the G.I. Joe cave. Point of all this is, I'm not tearing any of that shit down, and I don't have 10,000 Santa hats to put on all my figures, so I'm not decorating the way we used to. I mean, we had every, like, village possible. There was a snowman village with 30 different statues. There was Santa's village, and then we collected the big Santas, and then we had like China hutches, and then the bigger Santas with reindeers and all this other stuff. I mean, it was just so much shit that we just, it became like a week-long chore to tear down the house and then another week to put everything up. And while it was cool and I appreciated those things, now that we don't have family visiting or anybody to show off for, there's no point, really. So speaking of family, though, you know how I always like paranormal stuff? My mom and I always talk about, you know, fun things after family members have passed and little memories that come up. My mom had been missing a coat for a long time. And it was her favorite pink coat, and she moved from Carson City down to Vegas. They lived in a travel trailer for a while, ended up not traveling, and most of their stuff was either in my garage or in a storage unit. And then when they moved into their new house, somehow between the three different places, or my place, this pink jacket got misplaced. And she loved it, you know. You could replace those things, but it's one of those that if you have something that fits and that works just for you, you hate to lose it, especially like, you know, your spot in a couch or something like that, you know. So this thing's been missing for years now. Well, you know, so my uncle's been going through things, lost a leg. They had to amputate more, and now it's, I guess it's not just part of his heel or his foot anymore. They took everything from the below the knee on down. And so he's been having a rough time. Christmas was always his big thing. My mom's more of a bleeding heart than I am. So she sent him a nice care package. The things that he had always loved, the chocolate-covered cherries, a card, I think probably a shirt or something like that. God knows she didn't send him shoes. God, I'm going to hell. Anyway, it made him feel good, made him cry, you know, and he's just a blubber butt anyway. And she felt like she did a good thing, and that was her sort of, I don't know what you call it, like Christmas goodwill, even though he was mean to her and yelled at her and said he'd never talk to her again for doing a welfare check to get his ass in the hospital to actually save his life. You know, you would think someone would be appreciative, but anywho, she comes home from shopping, walks into her closet, and the pink jacket is just, it's sitting there, like, hung up, right in the middle of her summer clothes, bright-ass pink, can't miss it, front and center. And she's like, well, you know, what the hell is this? Where's this been? She asked her husband, and Kurt's like, no, I don't know where this came from, I didn't find it. She's like, you had to have put that right in front so I would see it. And he's like, no, did not do anything with it. She texted me last night and she says she feels like in some way grandma, who has passed now for quite some time, still watches over us and somehow made that visible or made it appear and sort of gave her a Christmas gift for doing a good thing for my uncle. And I, you know, to an extent, I sort of believe it because a lot of weird Christmas ghost type things like that had happened. There was a Christmas right after Grandma had passed where we had all got some of her things, and you know, everybody had to fight over it and all that, and I said, well, I remember her wallet, I just want to keep that. And of course, everybody had literally gone through every part of it to make sure there wasn't any money or nothing left inside, and they looked at it right in front of me, checked absolutely everything, and it was just like her ID or her old driver's license or whatever it was. Anyway, whatever she had, an old picture of her. So I kept that to put in a keepsake box. And then when I got home, I started looking at the ID again and just kind of peeking through the pockets like normal. And lo and behold, $100 bill showed up. Grandma, in her entire life, never had a $100 bill that I can think of. That would have been, especially in the 80s and 90s and in the last part of her life in the early 2000s, that's just not something she would have been able to afford or keep. And if it was, that would have been, you know, most of a rent or a backup, super emergency sort of fund. There's no way she would have just had a $100 bill. And not only that, all of my mom's brothers and sisters to miss that, to all go through there, because that's the first thing they did when they went through her stuff, is check every pocket and everything looking for hidden money. And then I get it home and I look at it for sentimental reasons with love, and I find a $100 bill. And I just kind of looked up, I was like, thanks, Grandma. Merry Christmas to you too. And that's not the only time that's happened. I remember I was working at the place downtown. And I, you know, was kind of having a down moment, but I was, you know, stuck at the door. It was freezing ass cold and trying to have fun at least and do the best I can while everyone else is having fun. And I noticed this pigeon playing with something. And it's like, a, you know, some piece of paper or something like that. And it keeps getting closer, and pigeons are usually skittish as fuck, so there's, you know, no reason this pigeon should have done what it did. Not kidding you, the damn thing walked right up to me and dropped a $100 bill at my feet. The year after that, no fucking joke, I'm standing at the ATM and kind of cleaning up after the shift is over, and with hundreds and hundreds of people in a bar all night long, nobody noticed a giant neon-colored piece of paper and a card sitting on the floor. And I pick it up and it said, Merry Christmas. And it was a gift card for like a, it was some donut shop or something. It was just crazy. So for the longest time, we really believe in some way Grandma found a way to still get us gifts for the holidays. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe if... Let me know if you have a ghost story or a Christmas ghost story. I guess that's what Christmas used to be about, and why Dickens did a Christmas Carol is because people used to sit around and tell ghost stories on Christmas. So, kind of some neat stories there for you. So those little stories are fun. Lots of fun, kind of spooky stuff has always happened. As far as like gifts or whatnot. I mean, I had a really good Christmas party at work. Always wanted to jam on that stage. I took a couple of guitars just for fun, just in case. Luckily, the drums were still set up and, you know, got up there and jammed. Didn't have any mics. We just kind of played with the live amps and the live kit. Nothing, you know, with the PA system. Just kind of dinking around. And then I got home and was just smiling. I was happy. It was a good night. We were having fun. No one got out of control. And I was just looking at my tree outside. Everything was cool. And then I looked right up and fucking shooting star, just like out of nowhere, as soon as I looked up. And it's fun, you know, it might not be anything, but to me, it's like someone's still watching over me, still proud, still happy that I'm happy, and, you know, it was a good moment. So speaking of the Christmas party, we did a Secret Santa gift exchange, and I had a feeling the guy that was going to get me is the lead security guy, Jersey guy, that I've had it out with a few times here and there. And he's really been trying to butter me up lately, and he was having a bad time. You know, he misses his mom. He finally came into some money. Things are finally starting to turn around for him. He had heart problems or something, thought he was going to die and have open heart surgery, and then he just turned out he just needed to calm down because he was stressing himself out. So things are starting to look up for him. Well, he pulls my name, and he was joking one day, or at least I thought he was joking. He's like, "What's the biggest Hulk Hogan figure you have?" And I was like, "Well, I never got that 3 foot tall one, but nobody could find that one." And it just like disappeared, you know, because it was right about the time that Hogan wasn't allowed to be PC anymore, so they pulled all his figures, and it was right at the end of the heyday of Toys R Us, too, so they just kind of never really showed up, and I was like, yeah, I never got that 3 foot tall one, and then I thought he was kidding. I didn't even know he was my Secret Santa, and so I sent him a picture. I was like, I have everything known to man, and I showed him my wrestling wall, and so he's like, all right, well, what shirt size are you? And I was like, all right, he's fishing for something. And the only reason anyone there knows that I'm into wrestling or Hogan is because I freaked out when Real American came on the rotation of music videos that we play in the bar. And, you know, started acting like we were ripping the shirts off and doing the dance moves and the Hogan pose down. It was just really fun. So I figured, okay, well, if anyone actually knew me, they would know that Ultimate Warrior is my favorite. And, you know, Hogan's probably pretty up there, too. So anyway, I didn't think anything of it. Well, I go to open my Secret Santa, and it's a giant-ass package. And I'm like, no the fuck he didn't. There's no fucking way. Open this thing, and I'll be goddamn if it wasn't the 3 foot tall red and yellow Hulkamania one. The NW one I had seen around. They're still, you know, $99, but the red and yellow one is super rare, super expensive, hard to just, oh yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous that he found it, got it, and had it delivered before Christmas. He's like, it's a Christmas miracle. He's like, God is good. I did everything I could. He gives me a hug and he starts crying. And then I get teary-eyed because he's been through a lot and he just wants a friend. And I realize I'm meaner than I should be to people and I don't let people in, which it's a fault, but I am an emotional person. And the more people I let in, the more heartbreak and the more pain you go through. And I guess, you know, somebody said losing a loved one or pain is just to remember that you loved once, but I'm at that point in my life that I don't want to love anything because I'm sick of the pain and the heartbreak. So it is what it is. Well, and then he's like, keep going, keep looking. Okay, so I look in the box and there's another little box, and it was the sunglasses from Hogan's Beach Shop, and then it was the Hogan's t-shirt, and then the bandana. I mean, he just like must have gone on there and got everything possible labeled or having to do with Hulk Hogan. So that was cool. He didn't have to do that, you know. And I feel bad kind of being mean to the guy because I yelled at him about the radio. I yelled at him about some other stuff and just kind of was like, you know what, you got to settle down. But he took it with a grain of salt. He was fine. He was still happy to do a favor for me. And so it was cool. I was pretty excited to get that. So now I'm back at that stupid fucking area where they have construction blocking off the goddamn freeway, which makes absolutely zero sense to me. But, you know, fuck, it is what it is. Oh, so ridiculous. So another kind of Christmas memory are ornaments. When I was putting up the little tree on the inside of the house, the little fake one, I decided I'm not going to pull out all of the ornaments. I'm just going to pull out the little things that I remember. Well, I just grabbed the large ornament box. And I had forgotten a lot of these things and why we had them. There was a lot of ones that are labeled by the year, which is fun to think of now. I don't remember anything or any date in the 2000s at all. There isn't a single one that stands out. And I've done some pretty amazing things, and I couldn't tell you what year I did any of those things in or when these events happened at all. I have no concept of year, because after Y2K, I mean, that was pretty much it. I think 2001, I remember. I think that was 9/11. I'm not sure. And I want to say Dimebag died in about 2009. I think Grandma died in 2011. But I'm pretty sure I'm wrong on all of those. It just doesn't do that. But I don't know if labeling your ornaments is something that'll help out for your kids. And if they're going to go, oh, man, I remember 2020. That was the weird year we all had to wear masks or something. I don't know what kind of memories kids are going to have when these kids are going to grow up. It's going to be a real interesting thing. However, when I see an ornament and it's the Muppets and it says first ornament 1979, like all these things start flooding back. I was born in 79, so I guess a lot of times you commemorated things, you know, in that era, and you'd go to Hallmark and buy the Happy New Year or the Christmas, whatever, and it had the year on there so you can remember it. And it was just, it was fun to see those things, but a lot of stuff, I don't even know if they exist anymore. Like, so this was a threaded ornament, and I don't know how they printed on a threaded ornament. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's basically like a plastic ball that they've wrapped around with a million threads. And it's, yeah, it's interesting. And then I don't have too many of the glass bulbs. But another thing that sort of sticks out in my memory is fuzzy stuff. I talked about that when I was shopping last week, about how the fuzzy ornaments were sort of just a thing. And you don't see things like that anymore. So it's fun to see them again. It's fun to collect them again. I got one from my mom. I should have got her. I gave it to her now, but unfortunately, it's now in a box of other things that I got for her. So, yeah, that kind of backfired on that one. So I watched the episode of Young Rock, the holiday special, and I forgot that was my lead-in to the story of my mom finding that coat. The Rock shared the story of how he could never find anything for his mom, and people always say, well, just make something for your mom, because that's what they like the most, because they don't like anything other than their children. And it's sort of really fucking irritating. Like, you can't buy them anything. And it's the same thing every year. You know, I don't know if you get your mom a trinket or a book, but how many memory keepsakes can you do? And that's why it's so difficult to shop for moms. You know, one year we got a memory book with all the photos. Okay, well, what happened in a year? Do we just do a scrapbook every year? I got a lot of projects and hobbies. She didn't like doing any of those. In fact, I think she finally, first time ever, finished one. And it was something I gave her last year for Christmas. It took her all year to do. But then again, I've still got stuff I haven't opened since last year, so I can't bitch. But, so anyway, the Rock's show, he's like, fine, I'll make a coconut with googly eyes and I'll paint it up and give it to her. Well, as he's doing this, she had finally splurged on herself and got some of these, slippers that were really fancy and expensive, and she never gets to buy anything for herself. So she thought, all right, this will be my one time Well, he drops the damn Kraft coconut on the slippers and ruins them, gets glitter on them, and then just has to throw them away. He obviously can't afford buying new ones, so he goes through the whole thing in the episode. I mean, I should have said spoiler alert, but whatever. He's looking for a Christmas miracle, and he's like, I don't know what to get my mom. Nobody gets her anything good that she likes, whatever, it is what it is. So he asks someone who he thinks is Santa and said, you know, you gave me some really bad advice. Because of your advice, I ruined my mom's slippers, and now I got nothing to give her for Christmas. And, you know, Santa's basically saying, well, just wish for that for Christmas, and maybe you'll be surprised. So he does, and then after everyone opens their Christmas presents, then... there's one left, and it's like, well, who's this for? And opens it up, and it's a pair of those slippers. Now, could that have been his dad? Could his mom have found it and bought them herself just so that he wouldn't feel so bad? And I feel a lot of times moms will do that on things that you've broken and then tried to hide, but then they mysteriously show up again, and you think it's a miracle, just like the puppy farm that your dog got sent to when it got sick and old. Like, whatever you want to believe is fine. But then again, maybe it is the Christmas miracle. And so that's where I was going with that. So mom already had her Christmas miracle. And you know, damn it, she's a good person. I've never met any one person that gives when they shouldn't be giving and gives until they can't give anymore and will still find a way to give more. Like, her superpower is compassion and giving, and she'll find a way. And, you know, it's what moms do. So it was nice that she got a little treat and something gave back, and she got her old coat back that she had been missing for so long. So that's the segue I had planned for that one, but because of driving, you know, I get distracted and shit. So it is what it is. Well, so far my trinket hunt for... mom is unsuccessful. I keep finding shit for me and I keep putting it back because I'm not supposed to be shopping for me. I found a Hercules and Xena VHS. Figured I should probably get that because I'll never see that again. And I found a Ninja Turtle vehicle from the old shit back in 91. It was that purple buggy hot rod car or something like that. But, yeah, I'm trying to find some, she said she wanted Goodwill trinkets and things, and I found that one snowman thing that I mentioned last time, which I hope to God she's not listening to this stuff, because it just ruins the surprise, and I like to have one thing that she's not on, because there's got to be, some sort of privacy and ranting thing where I can just vent and get stuff out to my friends or to anonymous random people I don't care in Russia that for some reason still listen to me. I don't know who that is, but Daz Vidanya or whatever. Anywho, I'd like to find something. And then as far, you know, so back to the Christmas miracle stuff. It hasn't happened. I have pretty good luck, but it hasn't happened for me in a while. And I'm not looking for it, but then again, I'm not really putting good out there. I haven't really been a very good person lately. There just hasn't been the opportunity for it. And not only that, I have so little patience with people anymore that it's just not worth it. I mean, people have done really good things for me. You know, my birthday, everyone pitched in and got me a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't deserve, and people are always doing kind things for me. And I don't mean like that, but I mean as far as like the celestial Christmas miracle where all of a sudden my long-lost He-Man action figure shows up out of nowhere, which isn't true because I kept them all. This still marks the 35th anniversary of the aircraft carrier that I didn't get from G.I. Joe. So there's that. We talked about that last time, too. So, I'm not really looking for it, but every year, I just ask that my mom is happy and that she gets her little fun stuff and little tokens and memories because she's getting older, and I can tell she's getting sadder as the years go on, because she's afraid to leave me alone. She's afraid to pass on. And she's afraid what she's going to leave me with, which is honestly kind of hysterical, because literally everything I have is all because of her. You know, the house, everything in it, helping me get up and running, learning, the love, the compassion, everything I am and have and do has all been because of her. So she's leaving me with more than just memories and love. She's leaving me with everything. So, you know, she tends to think money is what people want, and that's not what I want. That's not what I'm going to remember someone by, because my aunt passed, who had a shit ton of money, and nobody even did anything for her funeral. Nobody even got anything from her, from her estate, I guess. And all these organizations and people that she thought she knew and that she thought she was a part of didn't give a shit when she died. And now she's all but forgotten. And she was rich. That sucks. So it is what it is. But anyway, I'm not looking for a Christmas miracle for myself. I get little things where I'll see things, or maybe I'll see a little spirit or a little something out of the corner of my eye. Or shooting stars are my thing. I like that. But I always just wish that my mom gets something. So I was pretty happy when she said she found that coat again. There was another instance. She said what brought that up. She said, do you remember when I said I'd found that new pair of socks? And I said it was, you know, like a gift from grandma. And so as that story goes, the last gift my mom gave her mom was a pair of socks. And I guess she the Christmas after grandma had passed, she had opened her drawer and my mom found a brand new pair of socks just sitting right there on the top drawer. It wasn't me. It wasn't Kurt. I don't know who it could have been. She had to have bought them. I mean, if you're looking at the logical side of things, you know, we'd say that she had to buy it, forget about it, and just put it there nonchalantly. But how many of us do that? You know, I like to surprise myself the following year. Like, I did my ornaments, and I found 3 of the 4 Ninja Turtles. I have no idea where those came from. I guessing I've got them and just put them in the ornament box. I think I got it from the comic shop. It must have been like a after Christmas clearance or something. So that was cool to see, but I don't think it's celestial. I remember doing that now. So I don't know. I mean, sometimes Christmas is weird. I do believe in a Christmas spirit. I do believe in a Christmas miracle. And I think there may be times where something just pops out or something is sent your way. I mean, I've been looking for that in regards to a woman for years. I've always laughed to myself because somehow I'm still a softie and a traditionalist, and I'm thinking that love at first sight is a real thing, and that just randomly out of nowhere I'm going to meet the love of my life at something. Like, it's going to be a Steel Panther concert, or it's going to be a, I don't know, something. But that's never happened. It's probably never going to happen, but you know, it is what it is. So I'm going to try one more thrift shop before I go to Walmart and the dollar store and just start getting joke gifts for people. I'm pretty much done with everyone. But I hate this last minute rush where all the good shit's gone. And like I say, how many meaningful gifts can you give to people? And I hate to see people cry. So we did that last year. I get it, that book. I've done the picture albums. I've done all sorts of stuff. I don't know. I got an idea. I think I'm going to make her an action figure of me. I think that would be hysterical. But she'll probably cry and love it. It's meant to be a joke, but you know how moms are. So I'll probably do that. But again, you know, see, to a kid, and I don't think moms ever understand this, You probably, as a kid, were selfish at one point in your life where you just didn't care. Christmas was all about presents. Birthday was all about presents. When it came to Mother's Day, you just wrote, "Happy Mother's Day, last minute. Wish I could get you a card, but I didn't have time." And you wrote it on a piece of paper, folded it up, and handed it to her. And she probably cried about it or whatnot. Or maybe maybe there are selfish moms out there that think they need to be pampered and sent to a spa or something like that. I don't know. Mine certainly wasn't like that. At some point, you want to start doing nice things for your parents. And you can't, because they have the money, they give you everything, and it doesn't matter what you give them. I mean, now this is the irritating side of things, too, is we used to love returning things and just going and buying our own gifts, which is a fun family tradition. And there's nothing you can get my stepdad. He always asks for a drone or electronics or something he could play with, and he pulls it out, irritates the dogs with it for like 20 minutes, puts it back in, returns it for the money, and then just keeps it. And then he doesn't do anything with the money. He doesn't go buy new clothes or a new cologne or something. He just keeps it, and maybe he'll gamble with it. He doesn't smoke anymore. There's just, money is useless. I don't know why he even returns it, but you can't buy him anything. So I just buy him stuff knowing he's going to return it. Usually stuff he already has, or if I'm going to spend X amount of dollars, I'm just going to buy a $100 thing. Like this year, I got him a freaking Roomba. Like, they have hardwood floors. That's going to be hysterical. Why would they need a Roomba? But it's one of those things just to say, I got you something. I know you're going to return it anyway. Here you go. Nobody cares. You know, last year I got him, I think, a couple of Nerf guns so he could shoot the dogs. That's all he likes is animals. He wants to play with his loud-ass, annoying-ass dogs. And so that went right back to the store. We buy him a drone every year. That goes right back to the store. We buy him the newest reskinned video game of Call of Duty or Battlefield or whatever it is every year, and it's $60 when the year previous is $29, and then it stays there. I mean, there was one Christmas he opened up all this shit, and then we went to go put it away for him and put it in his shelf that he has where all his Xbox games are, and all of those games were there, brand new, never open. And we're like, we're never doing this again, but we do every year. So, you know, some people are just hard as fuck to shop for. And I tried to do that this year. I tried not to do a Christmas list. I tried to tell my mom, look, it's going to be a hard Christmas. We're not going to be able to afford much. And then, lo and behold, we all end up finding money for some strange reason. I had a couple bartendings night, made like $700 in 2 days just in tips, which was phenomenal. And then I had gift card sales. My figure sales were through the roof. I opened it up to the public again, and now everybody wants my figures. So, my T Public is doing great. I'm up to $850 so far. It went viral and was up to 130, and I let it go for a couple days, and now they've put me on some Facebook ad again. And yeah, for some reason, that 1989 roster poster that I did, doesn't matter what incarnation I put up there or how I do it, that fucking thing sells. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm glad now I'm finally the one making money off of it and getting those Christmas sweaters and shit. Which is funny because I disappeared and went underground with all my artwork and figures for a couple years now, and I haven't seen anyone rip me off in a long time. Imagine that, right? Like, it's pretty awesome. Now that I'm going public again, I'm sure people are going to rip me off right and left. And, it is what it is. But at least now with doing action figures, unless they buy the figure from me and know how to mold and cast, they're not going to be able to do it, because I don't offer print files of the figures that I make. If I buy a print file, I'm going to modify it, make it my own. You know, I'm not going to do that. So, yeah. I'm going to try one more place. This is the upscale Goodwill thrift shop, the Deseret Industries. And I found some fun trinkets in here before, so I'm hoping this one will pan out. But we'll see. You never know. We're getting to that dangerous part of the day where it's sundown at 3:30 and people drive like dicks because they're all trying to get home and nobody can see and they're all in a fucking rush starting at 4 p.m. Didn't find much of the Deseret. I found a book on the B-1 bomber. And it was a giant picture book. And then I found another one of those candle figures I mentioned. This one was a teddy bear that I don't remember if we had or not. But it should be fun. I don't know. I think the whole thrift shop Christmas thing is probably going to be a bust. I keep my eyes out when I thrift anyway, and it just, I think the things that a mom would look for are generally at garage sales, and even if you bought something, they'd just be mad you bought it for full price, because they want everything for a quarter. So, nothing like that is a quarter at a thrift shop, so, should be interesting. So now I'm going to go head to Walmart and a few other stores and see if there's something there, and if not, I best get to crafting a googly-eyed coconut or something. Huh. Go freaking figure. Oh, well. So, as we're winding down these Christmas talks, I'm sure next week I'll have a whole list of things I'm embarrassed that I got because I already know she spent way too much money. I mean, the idea was let's do one themed thing a week. Like, she's going to make fudge so it's not so stressful. Well, she made 30 different things one week, took a week off, and made 60 more the next week. I mean, it's just, I guess, our family, we just overdo it on everything. So I guess it's going to be white elephant gifts and just fun stuff that we can return now, because I don't know what to get these people. But it was supposed to be, I thought, actually, my original plan was to do, say, 1 week would be fudge, and then everybody give each other a gift that was useful. And then the next week could be the chocolate-covered Captain Crunch and peppermint bark, and then we give each other a funny dollar store gift. And then I thought the next week we could do, I don't know, something, whatever, and then Christmas would be the good gift where we're like, okay, this is the thing you really wanted. So that way we would limit to 4 gifts. No, I went over and saw her house. She's got like 30 gifts under the tree, and none of them were for her. And now, you know, and that's how it starts. Everyone feels bad because her husband gets expensive things, and he doesn't keep any of them. But she thinks quantity, if I'm getting 10 presents, then he feels bad, finds her 10 presents, and then because he doesn't get one, that many, then he gets all this other stuff, and then everybody spends more than they need, and then it just, I feel bad because I see 10, 15 presents for me under the tree, I don't know what they are, but now I gotta go get 10, 15 presents, and it just, it's out of hand, it's way out of control. And that's not what Christmas is supposed to be about. We've done things before, like gone to see the lights at the Speedway, but that's expensive. We drove around a little bit. I put Freya in the back of the car, and all of us together rode around and looked at the lights in my community. But even that's kind of a chore, because you can't drive around slow anywhere and appreciate the lights. My mom can't whip her neck around. She broke her neck at one point, or fractured it. And she can't whip her head around, oh, that's cool, oh, that's cool, and then keep, you know, fucking whipping it back and forth like a tennis match trying to figure out what the hell's going on. So, I don't know. It's really hard to enjoy things unless you're in your house away from people. So, we could watch Christmas movies or something. But she wanted to go see that Santa with the guy from Stranger Things movie or whatever, and I'm not I can't do that. I mean, the three people, a bucket of popcorn and three drinks, that's almost $75 right there. And then to deal with other people making noise and snot-nosed kids and screaming teenagers and, you know, it's not an enjoyable experience to exist anywhere these days. And that's a real sad thing to realize, because you used to be able to enjoy the community, a hot chocolate walk around the mall, wear your Santa hat, drive around looking at lights, and everyone's in such a fucking hurry now that you can't do any of that. It's just a shame. I really wish people would calm the fuck down. I really do. I got my Santa hat on. I'm drinking coffee. Just taking my time, enjoying myself. And if I find something that stands out, I'll get it for somebody. If I don't, well, that's fine. Find something else. It's no big deal. But holy shit. I'm sorry, 'tis the season. Ho, ho, holy shit. People need to calm the fuck down. All week long. All week long. Every concert. People in a rush. And so I made a comment on Facebook the other day. I said, Metallica fans are the Raider Nation of the metal world. And I left it at that. And some people, like, you know, they're like, yeah, I love Raiders. I love Metallica. And other people got the innuendo and they thought it was pretty funny. I was calling them assholes. I don't know if anyone picked up on that, but everybody hates the Raider Nation. Everybody knows that they're the loudest, most obnoxious assholes in all of football. And that's what Metallica fans are. So we had a Metallica cover band come in. They don't give a shit because they like the energy of the crowd, so they want it to be as obnoxious as possible. But we're in a bar that serves drinks in glass and bottles, so we can't have moshing or any thrash dancing or whatever the fuck you call it. So we try and keep people in control. And so before, and this is sort of the door guy's fault, because I wouldn't have let him in. I know it's Christmas party season and everything, but 10 Mexican construction workers come in with their boss, and the boss is a white dude with an Asian wife, and he puts the credit card behind the bar and says, you know, these guys can spend up to $200. But the minute they get in there, they hear the warm-up and they hear the metal music. They start bumping into each other and other customers, and, you know, we don't have the floor open yet, but you can go to the bar. And I'm just like, fuck, I gotta get these guys out of here. Show hasn't even started yet, and it's a goddamn mess already. So they're already drunk before they came in. They're construction workers. They're having a good time. They want to enjoy themselves. I get it. I would too, but I don't endanger other people when I have a good time. And so I just kind of like sat there at the end of the bar, and they're like, oh, and they noticed me watching them. The other guy kind of irritated him, and I'm more of a calm approach when I, you know, start noticing people and want them to notice that I'm watching them. They're like, oh, so you're the bouncer, huh? And I was like, yeah, just got to keep an eye on people. And then I throw out things like, we're just a lame rock bar for old people. We're not allowed to mosh and whatnot, but they still have me here. Just so they get the idea of the rules without me saying, hey, don't do this, don't do that. So it's not an aggressive, you know, conversation. They're like, ah, that's too bad. We were kind of looking to have some fun. I was like, yeah. And I said, just so you know, I've already been told twice that the eye in the sky has been watching, and you guys are a little rambunctious. So, you know, if you could do me a favor and at least kind of keep that under control, that would help me out, just so I don't have to be the bad guy. And, you know, it is what it is. They appreciated it, whatever. Well, then it didn't stop. And then they started about talking like, well, let's pick some fights, or, well, the next person that comes in, or as soon as the Metallica band starts, we're going to fucking, you know, start moshing, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I'm like, I can't nip that in the butt and kick them out just because of things they say they're going to do if they haven't done it yet. But my spider sense is going off, like, if I don't get these guys out of here, it's going to be fucking trouble. Well, I see two of them do the nod and elbow each other, and they head towards the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, this is it. This is going to be it. This is how I get them. And then three more follow, and I'm like, that's it. I got them. I fucking got them. Went in the bathroom, and there's five of them in the one stall, and I'm like, oh, that's it, guys. Sorry, I hate to break it to you, but you can't do cocaine in the bar and I'm sorry that it ended up this way, but yeah, I'm going to have to ask you guys to leave. They're like, well, we're just having a high no, and everybody says it's Vegas, but I'm sorry. That's just the breaks. Believe me, if it was 2 a.m., I'd be in there doing it with you. Sorry, I got it. Okay, well, we don't really want to go. And I'm like, well, here's the problem with that, guys. Your boss is out there, and I'm not sure he's going to want to know that his guys are in the bathroom together. And if I tell him you're in the bathroom together, there's only one of two things happening. Either you're sucking dick or doing cocaine. I said, so which one do you want me to tell him? Oh, don't tell the boss we're doing cocaine. I was like, okay, you want me to tell him you're sucking dick? And then, oh, ha, 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 we're all laughy, jokey. And I'm like, yeah. So here's the thing. Who's the leader of all of you? Who's the foreman? You? Cool. I want you to grab the guys, go outside. There's a bar down the street that is a little more receptive to that sort of thing. Why don't you go see them, and then everything should be fine. I won't tell your boss you were doing a bunch of shit, and then we'll just, you know, I'll be over there at 2 and we'll party at 2 a.m. How about that? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go, man, thanks. You're a lifesaver. We don't want to get fired or drug tested. I was like, yeah, no, I totally get it. Got the guys out and everything. And the Asian lady comes up and is like, so why did my guys get kicked out? Well, they came in drunk. And they shared a pitcher of beer between 10 guys. So, sorry, we're not that kind of bar. So she gets pissed, grabs the boss who was trying to have a good time. I cash him out behind the bar, and then they all leave. And I'm just like, holy shit, did I dodge a bullet there? Because dragging those 10 guys out when there's 100 to 200 people in there, that would have been a fucking nightmare. But I was smart. That's how you do it. And with that, I do believe I'm done. Walgreens and Walmart has weird little knickknacks you can pick up and things, so that's good enough. And then I'll probably make something. We'll make it easier. And that's all I got for you this week. Probably not as exciting. The Christmas party was fun also with the foot-long doobie. I have never seen a pre-roll that is a foot long with a full ounce of weed in it. They lit that motherfucker and the whole damn place got smoked out. It was all like contact high. Within seconds, we were all just buzzing, red-eyed, and giggling, you know, our asses off. Everyone except me, because it, you know, doesn't work on me, which is hysterical. So I just kept doing shots at the bar by myself, serving myself. And yeah, that's about how it goes. So anywho, I hope things are good. I hope your Christmas shopping is done. I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Yule, because that's what me and my family celebrate, and whatever you celebrate is wrong. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I hope everyone has a good holiday season, and I hope the kids are happy. I hope your family's safe and happy and healthy, and, oh man, let's make fucking 2023 a hell of a lot better than this year. I'll tell you that much. All right. Peace.